Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Romans, please, in chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 tonight. Been, of course, all year on Thursday nights looking at evangelism, and we've studied what that is and our commission, and looked at illustrations of soul winning in the Bible and lessons to learn there. We looked at leading, especially a child to Christ. Last Thursday I preached in preparation for our kids' crusade. And again, praise the Lord for the results in our kids' crusade and seeing the souls that were saved. Brother Ferguson did a fantastic job. Appreciate him and presenting the gospel. Their kids' crusade started last night, and so pray for them tonight and tomorrow as well. But tonight we want to look at this, and tonight and Lord willing next week as well. But the power of evangelism. In Romans chapter number 8, and read verse number 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death." Look, time's sake, verse number 11. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." What does it take for a soul to be saved? When one is saved, the Bible says they pass from death unto life. John chapter number 5. The Bible says when someone's saved that we are translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son in Colossians chapter number 1. Now this transaction, this salvation, is impossible for us to achieve. No man can create life out of death. None of us in this room can change a sinner's destiny. Salvation is a miracle of God. And just like every miracle of God, it requires the power of God. In Luke chapter number 24, look back there real quick with me. Luke chapter number 24 and in verse number 49. Luke chapter 24 and in verse number 49. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 24, verse number 49. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Christ gave the commission to the church to be a witness, but he commanded them to wait first for the power of God. Now we know in Acts chapter number 1, if you want to turn there real quick too, all right? Acts chapter number 1 and in verse number 4, Acts chapter 1, verse number 4, says here, again we're talking about the power of evangelism, in Acts chapter 1, verse number 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." So they're waiting, verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." If we want to fulfill the Great Commission, if we want to see people get saved, it does not depend upon our people skills. It does not depend upon our programs. It does not depend upon our personality. It is totally dependent upon the power of God. Matter of fact, we can have some very poor people skills, and we can have some terrible programs and zero personality, but if the power of God is at work in our life, people are going to get saved. Over in 1 Corinthians, I know we're using our Bible, we're setting the stage here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, read this with me real quick. What Paul said concerning himself in this matter which I speak. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 1, Paul wrote these words, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse number 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If we're going to be effective as soul winners, it is demanded that the power of God work in our lives. We will not be able to see souls be saved without the working of the power of God. Sadly, in the last days, we're studying this on Sunday nights, and I believe we'll actually talk about this verse Sunday night, but we're going through the book of 2 Timothy. But sadly, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5 that one of the signs of the last days would be that there would be a form of godliness, but denying the power. A form of godliness, but denying the power. In other words, I believe what Paul is talking, and we see it today, that we're not going to have a shortage of churches. We're not going to have a shortage of religion. Matter of fact, in the last days, we know there will be eventually, praise the Lord, we won't be here, but there will be a one world religion, the Antichrist and his prophet. Religion will be here. But all the religion in the world does not equate the power of God. And one of the signs of the last days is that there will be a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I believe, quite bluntly, that we'll have all kinds of churches, but we're not going to see a change in communities. We're going to have all kinds of people saying they're preachers and inviting people to church and having all kinds of programs and facilities unmatched. But without the power of God, people aren't going to be saved and lives changed. And that's what's being built on a lot of these ecumenical works and non-denominational works that are just trying to invite everybody in, have coffee, have a great time. But without the power of God, you're never going to see a change in anyone's lives. We can't match their facilities. I even read an article that one of these big outfits that is in charge of these things, like these crossroad churches and others like that, that they upfront the money. You ever wonder where these places get their facilities? I do. You know, I was like, how did they get that, right? You know, we've been here 57 years, whatever, right? How do they? But I read the article. There's this big organization, and it's all a money thing. I'm just telling you what I read, right? That they front the money to build this facility. And they give this money towards advertisement and stuff. And then once you get people in, a portion of your tithe income goes back to this organization. That's not God. That's a money-making scheme, right? And it's very profitable. So these churches are popping up everywhere because someone's making money. They're all staring at me. I'm not lying. I'm just telling you the article I read, all right? That's what's happening. That is not the Great Commission. That is not what the Bible teaches. Organizations don't start churches. Churches start churches. We're not here to try to win people with the nicest of this or coffee shops or anything else. It's the preaching of the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to change a life. We must have the power of God. So how do we have the power of God? How do we access this power of God? What does that mean to have the power of God? And I want to discuss that tonight. And then next week, Lord willing, right? Number one, when we say the power of God, we need, number one, the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. Let's read a few verses here in Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's all turn there. Hebrews chapter number 4. And let's see. Brother Jordan, would you care to read in a minute Jeremiah 23:29? All right? But we'll all read here Hebrews chapter number 4, familiar passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, the Bible says this, "For the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." The Word of God is powerful. We are not going to have... Now, we want the power of God, all right? And evangelism requires the power of God if we're going to see fruit, all right? We're not out to get results. We're out to get fruit. There's a difference there. Talk about it next week, all right? But power of the Word of God. What does the Bible say here about itself? All right. What does the Word of God do? Well, it exposes. It's as a two-edged sword, as a surgeon, if you will. What does the Word of God expose? It exposes our weakness. It exposes our unbelief. It exposes our sin. It exposes who we are. It exposes what we've done. The Word of God must be preeminent in the sharing in evangelism. We get up, we can tell some good stories, we can tell some good things, but it requires the Word of God. The Word of God exposes, it's as a sword, it exemplifies, it's powerful. When you read these verses, it is powerful, the Bible says, quick and powerful. It is accurate, it is a powerful thing, the Word of God. We need the Word of God. It exemplifies, it examines, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God shows and reveals our thinking and our actions and why we do what we do. In verse number 13, a lot of times we don't read that verse, but it's also ever-reaching. The Word of God, it is good for everybody. There is neither a creature that is not manifest in his sight. The Word of God is effective. You say, well, it worked on me, but will it work on them? Yes. The Word of God's for everybody. But the Word of God, Jeremiah chapter number 23, verse 39, Brother Jordan. The power of God. Not only is it exposed and exemplified and examined and ever-reaching, but also it exploits. It is as a fire and as a hammer. See, what does it do? As a fire, it burns. Yeah. I'm thankful for that conviction that the Word of God brings into a life. It burns in our heart. Remember the people on Emmaus, when the Lord spoke to them, did our hearts not burn within us, right? What did they heard? Jesus started there in Genesis and preached Jesus through the Old Testament, amen? And the Word of God brought conviction. The Word of God burns, but also it breaks like a hammer. It can break a hard heart. Praise the Lord, there is no one that is beyond the reach of God. There's no one who has gotten into so much sin that they can't be saved. There's some popular preachers on the internet that say that some people can sin certain sins and they're no longer can be saved. Those are false preachers. So some of the things they say pushes people beyond salvation, Paul mentions and says, of such were some of you. But praise the Lord, he changes a life. Amen. There's no one. You say, well, that parent, that child, that coworker, have they gone too far? If they're breathing, there's still hope. So praise the Lord, it's ever-reaching, exploits as a hammer, as a fire. And then turn over, we're right there, turn back a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, just a few pages back to the left. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and in verse number 13, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Not only does the word of God expose and exemplify and examine, and it's ever reaching and exploits, but also it exhorts. I'm thankful that the word of God, it is the truth. Amen. And it calls to us. It brought that conviction into our life. It effectually worketh. Amen. We don't need some new sales pitch. We just need to preach the Word of God. It effectually worketh. So what's that mean for us as a soul winner? When we go soul winning, we're going to tell people about Christ. We need to know the Word of God. We need to carry the Word of God. We need to show the Word of God. We need to use the Word of God. I encourage us as soul winners, when we're talking to people, let them see the Scripture. Have it underlined or highlighted in your Bible you use in soul winning. Open that up. Let them read that. Let them see it. Because the Bible, as Brother Burbidge said in his newsletter, and I loved reading it tonight, it is the sole authority. So we cannot be effectual soul winners if we do not have the power of God. And that, first of all, we access that power through the Word of God. So we need the Word of God. Number two, there is the power of the gospel. Again, within the Word of God, we have the gospel. What do we mean by that? Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. I know we're using our Bible a lot, but it's church, and it's kind of what matters, right? All right. Romans chapter number 1, and in verse number 16. Romans 1, verse number 16, Paul said these words. We probably know it as soon as I start reading it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel, the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I am thankful that the gospel can convert a sinner. Amen. The gospel, the preaching of the gospel, and again, the message of salvation. What are we talking about with the gospel? We're talking about the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why he had to die? Because the wages of our sin is death, and that he paid for our sin debt, and that he was buried. But he overcame the curse and the law of sin and death, and that he rose again. The preaching of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, it converts the power of the gospel. Listen, well, a lot of times when you go soul winning, you'll talk to people, and they will like to try to steer the conversation maybe towards religion, but and away from the gospel. And I like to answer people. Last night, my wife and I, we were on soul winning. We went up to this man. He was sitting on a porch, and he was sitting there, and you could tell he didn't want to talk. But walked up anyways and tried to be kind and just talk a little chit-chat, and then handed him a track and told him who we were and introduced ourselves and told him, asked if he went to church. He said, nope, and that was it. And I said, more important than going to church. I said, that track has the Word of God in it. I said, and it can tell you how you can know that you're going to heaven. I said, and I started the talk, and he said, well, this world definitely needs help. And he started talking about world events and everything going on. And I let him talk, and I said, yep, it is getting a different place, a different world. But then I said, but you know what? It's because people need to know the Lord. And that's why Jesus came to this world, to die for our sins. Because he talked about how wicked everybody is. And I said, but that's why he came. And I had to steer the direction back to the gospel. You say, why? Because if I could have talked politics with that guy all night, but that's not going to change his heart. It takes the Word of God and the preaching of the gospel. So I'm thankful it can convert. But also in 2 Thessalonians, a few pages to your right, in chapter number 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, not only does the preaching of the gospel convert, but the preaching of the gospel calls. It calls sinners to repentance. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14, it says, whereunto he called you by our gospel, the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Samaritan woman, remember when Jesus spoke to her, she tried to steer the conversation to religion. And the Lord answered her questions, but then came back to the gospel. We need to have answers for people. But don't forget to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we are preaching the gospel, we're preaching Jesus. People don't have much of a difficulty talking about religion, even talking about church. But where you know salvation of a heart is when people and how they will want to talk about Jesus. And the gospel has the power to convert the sinner and call sinners to repentance. So if we're going to have the power of God in our life, we need the power of the Word of God, the power of the gospel. One more, and then we'll dismiss tonight. But we must have, of the most utmost necessity, the power of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, while you're turning there back just a couple pages, Zechariah chapter number 4, we know the verse, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The Holy Spirit of God is essential to the saving of souls. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Listen, without the Holy Spirit of God and His working, there is no conversion of sinners. Without His working. Because I can't save a person. I mean, John chapter 1 makes it very clear that they, the sons of God, He gave the power to do that. It's not us. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. He does it all. It takes and requires the working of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, we're going to turn into Gospels, but we are shown by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself how it's the Holy Spirit of God that strives with men. It's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts the sinner. It's the Holy Spirit of God that teaches. It's the Holy Spirit of God that does the regeneration. There is no salvation without the working of the Holy Spirit of God. The soul, now they say, well, amen, he needs to do the work. We're the soul winner. So the question is, how freely is the Holy Spirit able to work through you? We can go out on Wednesday night and Saturday, we can go out and say all the right words. But without the Holy Spirit of God working. In the book of Acts, turn there back real quick. Acts, we're almost done. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 20. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 20. Peter speaking there, and he's witnessing this great revivals going on in Samaria. We'll just skip down. I was going to read all this, but verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, and to the way that goeth down into Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit of God will lead us who to speak to. I think all of you will be like me and have to say that there's been times, and I'm ashamed of it, that I knew the Holy Spirit of God told me to share something and I didn't. And I don't want that to happen. I pray every day, and part of my daily prayer list, I pray, God, lead me to a soul, someone to speak to. And when he does, when the Holy Spirit nudges the heart, we need to obey the Holy Spirit of God. This Ethiopian gets saved, obviously, and in verse number 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and that eunuch saw him no more. But Philip was found at Azotus, passing through to Caesarea. What happened? The Holy Spirit of God led him to one. Now the Holy Spirit of God was taken to someone else. If we're going to be effective soul winners, the Holy Spirit of God needs to be able to work through us. What does he do in our life as a soul winner? He directs us. He'll lead us just as he did Philip in many other illustrations. He will give us boldness. We're going to turn there, but Ephesians chapter number 6, Paul was very thankful that people prayed for him, that the Holy Spirit of God gave them great boldness in their utterance, that they were able to speak up for the things of God and sharing the gospel. The Holy Spirit of God will empower our words. We're right here in Acts chapter number 6. Look back in verse number 10. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 10. The Bible says this, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. We all understand, I don't think I brought newsflash to anybody, that for someone to get saved, the Holy Spirit of God has to do the regenerating. I think everyone would have passed that test walking in the room. The question is this, are we hindering the work of the Holy Spirit of God? Because God has chosen through his wisdom, as Paul said it, we have been entrusted with the gospel. So when we go out and we speak to someone, it necessitates, listen, that we be spirit-filled. It necessitates that we be spirit-controlled. It necessitates that we are a clean vessel and ready to be used by the Spirit of God. Last verse I'll read, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and in verse number 21. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse number 21. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. There is no other way to have the power of God than to have the Holy Spirit of God working through us. If we want to see souls saved, it requires us to be spirit-filled and spirit-controlled and be able to be used by the Spirit of God, which means this, we need to be vessels unto honor. Which means this, we can't play around with sin and hold on to our own sins in secret. You know, I heard someone say a couple years ago, they said, you know, it's a different world today.
It takes more for souls to be saved. It's harder today. And I don't think that's an accurate statement. You say, well, they are wicked. A little newsflash. The world's always been wicked. The problem is this, I believe that we live in an age when God's people, because of our choices, our lifestyle, our entertainment, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And we're relying way too much on the personalities and programs and people skills, pamphlets and propaganda, but we're missing the power of God. In order to have the power of God upon our life, we need the power of the Word of God, the power of the Gospel, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Some more we'll look at next week. But let's stop with those three and say, all right, God, are these things working in my life? Because without it, as my grandpa used to say, we're just spinning our wheels. Let's get in. Word of God, power of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, and preach the Gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation